We're going to pass out today's special Holy Spirit Sunday. I think I'm going to ask Pastor John, we should have a Holy Spirit month. What do you think? Yeah, I think we need to do that. Yeah, I think that's, you know, this is a Pentecostal church, right? Yeah, so hey, without the Holy Spirit, we don't have anything, okay? So I think we need to do that. So I wanted to give you some instruction about this oil and handkerchief, okay? And so when you look at the Bible, Bible say this. Bible says, is any among you sick? Bring your elders to your house and anoint it with oil and pray so you may be healed. Amen? That's in the book of James. So I am following exactly what the Bible said. And so I want you guys to do this today. Okay, we were going to pray for you with this oil and a handkerchief. One of the handkerchiefs is the handkerchief that came out of Apostle Paul in Book of Acts. And he just went, put upon them, and the Peter, and the sick got healed and touched by God. Now, this handkerchief and oil is just the material. But, you know, just same thing as we are. You know, God said to Moses, he said, hey, take up the staff. Okay, that staff is just a staff. But if it comes into the hand of God, it starts to become special. Amen? I want you guys to understand and know that we are just a human being. All our pastors are just a human being. But if God gets hold of us and he starts to anoint us and touch us, then we start to change. We start to become special because of the Lord, not because of who we are. Amen? And so same thing with this. So I want you guys to do this today. We, as a pastors, at the end of it, we're going to anoint you and we're going to pray for you. Those of you who are sick, we're going to do those things with this. But for you guys, I want you guys to take this and put it in your pocket. Okay? This is what we used to do in Bible college. Matter of fact, R.W. Schoenbach, who I was backslidden and they came to the door of faith and he got touched by God again. And he came to our Bible college a lot before he passed away. R.W. Schoenbeck said this. He said, oh, you guys, take this oil and a handkerchief and put it in your pocket. And then while I'm preaching and when I pray over you, anointing of God will come flow into that place. And I want you guys to take that into the sick relatives and people who's in prison. And I want you guys to anoint them with oil and put the handkerchief over it. And we're going to believe that God's going to use that thing to heal people. And you know what? I have many testimonies that I heard that really did happen. Amen? This is nothing. But if God touches it, it becomes special. Amen? So let's make it special today. Put it in your pocket. Amen? And let's go through the service today. And let the Lord anoint this thing. And I want you guys to take it by faith. Amen? What did Book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 said? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? So everything that we're going to do today will be by faith. Amen? We're going to expect it by faith that God's going to do something powerful today. So we're going to do it by faith. I know you guys all have faith. Amen? You know how I know that? Anybody here take bus here? Raise your hand to work. Anybody here take airplane to go to mainland or Korea? Raise your hand. Yeah. When you guys go and take airplane, do you guys check the pilot's license? Do you guys check bus driver's license? Do you have a license? Are you trained properly to take me from this to other place safely? Did you ever talk to the bus driver that way? How dare you? How come? I know why. Because you have faith in bus.org. Is that right? You guys have faith that this bus company will hire a really good bus drivers and train them properly and take me from this point A all the way to point B. If you have that faith, why can you not have faith for God? Amen? So we're going to have that faith in God. Because this Bible has been proven and tested throughout thousands of years. And there is a nation rise and fall because of this Bible. That they abide by it, they got prosperous. The only reason our nation is prosperous is because our nation abide by this book. If God can do that, what can he not do it for you? Have faith in God. Amen? Have faith in God today. So God want to what? He wanted to bless you today. Praise the Lord. Amen? So we're going to receive his blessing today. Amen? Without God's blessing, we cannot live this life. You can live this life, but you're not really living. You are actually dead. You know, you guys ever watch zombie movies? If you do, please don't do that, okay? That's actually really not a good thing to watch, okay? But when you look at zombies, what do they call zombie? Walking dead. They call it living dead, right? That's who we are if you don't have Jesus in our life. We are living, but we're not really living. We are actually dead because we don't have a life of God in us. And only way we could get that life of God is when we have a Jesus that allowed to come into our life. And when that happened, then our lives start to become a vibrant again. Amen? So we're going to do a little more than that today, okay? A little more than that. Let's turn to Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read two verses. First, chapter 1, verse 5, you say this, for John baptized with the water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Verse 8, you will receive power. The word power here in regional Greek, it means dynamite. You guys know the dynamite, right? Dynamite, right? It's a dynamite power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you got to look at this thing very carefully. This didn't say when Holy Spirit come into you. It actually say come on you. Our words experience, okay? And you will be my witness. The word witness means murder, which means that you will be witness unto death. That's what it actually means. So you're going to have a power to be my witness, to give your life self for it. You know, it's very hard to do that unless you have the Holy Spirit. And then you be my witness what? Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. What is this all about? You guys ever read Book of Acts? I want you guys to understand and know that I didn't always start as a Pentecostal preacher. I was a Baptist preacher. Okay? And you know, but I will probably never survive in a Christianity without a Pentecostal experience in my life. Because when I came to Christ, I came from Buddhist family. My grandfather was a Buddhist monk. I remember the time that when I lived in Korea up to 11 years old, every summer, in the summer break, I went to my grandfather's temple one whole month, and I went through all the rituals, and I read a lot of the books of the Buddhism. And I remember the time that when I first came to Christ, by accepting him into my life, I did not hear God's voice. I actually hear demons' voice. And demons spoke to me, and demons said, I am going to kill you for the things that you have done. And I got into a deep depression. I was making 3.7 GPA in my high school year. And I got saved when I was the age of 11th grade. And then I started skipping school. I got into depression. And I was like, you know what I do when I was skipping school? I was staying home and watching TV. And one day I would turn on the TV and there was a guy named Jimmy Swagger came out. And he started preaching. And then I started to hear his preaching. And so I skipped school and I watched his preaching. And I watched his preach. And all of a sudden, my depression went away. And I started to hear from God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And the Holy Spirit said, when you go back to church, and there will be a preacher who came last time and you got saved through. He will come and he's going to talk about Holy Spirit. When he does that, you need to receive that. I'm serious. I'm not lying. So I went to the church, and that's sure enough. There was one short guy and have big, gigantic, thick glass. His name is John Kim. He came, and he started to preach the gospel, preach. And he said, today, and he was a Baptist church, by the way. And he would say, today, I'm going to preach about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I said, what? This is what the Holy Spirit said. And the Holy Spirit witnessed in my heart. And the Holy Spirit said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And I remember the time that when the Holy Spirit came all over me and he gave altar call. He said, those of you who want to receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit, come up front. And I ran to the front and nobody lay hands on me. I kneel down, lift my hand, and I start to speak a strange language. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit that day. And I want you guys to understand and know that I will never become same again. My life has been revolutionized. And God, Holy Spirit, start talking to me. Hey, you know, do you guys know that I was the most shyest kid in the world? There's no way I would talk in front of the people. I was like, my mom knows that. What kind of person that I was. When I'm done with the school, I went down to the basement. I watched TV for 5 hours, and I read comic books. And that's the only thing that I did, and that was the joy of my life. And I don't like people, I don't like to talk to people, and I don't like music. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit touched my heart. And my life just changed. I started to like music, not all the musics, but only the hymns and the praise and worship musics. And I got so excited one day, I opened up all the hymn book, and I don't know how to read music, but I was just singing it. And my dad said, shut up and go to sleep, because I couldn't go to sleep. Because the Holy Spirit got hold of all my life. Something got hold of me. Amen? I want you guys to understand, my life was never be the same again. And then I go to my school and I got to tell all the kids. Nobody told me how to evangelize. Nobody had told me that. And I went there and every friend that I saw, I tell you better stop going to dance party and you better come to church with me because Jesus will change your life. And they all get scared. It goes like, there's Jacob. Let's run away. Ah! And then I start the Bible study and everybody start to come to the Bible study. And I remember 30 of them out of the Bible study came to Bible study and they got saved, touched by God. When I go to Washington, D.C., it's not just my disciple who say, came to me and say thank you. It's my classmate who come to me and say, Jacob, thank you. I become a missionary today. Jacob, because of that Bible study, I become missionary's wife today. Because of what you have preached, I got saved and touched by God today. Hallelujah. When you have a life, the life will start to reproduce. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the Holy Spirit. When you look at this very verse, you say what? And Jesus, before he went to heaven, he ascended to heaven, Jesus said to the disciple, disciple who are saved, disciple who followed him for 3.5 years, saw all the things, hear all the teachings, and they saw and witnessed his resurrection. But Jesus did not say to this disciple, I want you to go to Jerusalem right now and tell them about Jesus. Be a witnesser. He didn't say that. He said, just like John have said, that he baptized you with the water, but many days from now, you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit. And he explained it further. And he said this, he said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I want you guys to understand, I'm going to go to technical right now, so just, I want you guys to just pay attention to him, don't lose me, okay? All right. When you get saved, Holy Spirit do come into you. He comes inside of you. We call this in theology, indwelling of Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit will what? Guide you and teach you how to read the Bible and how to pray. All those things do happen. But there is something more that Holy Spirit is talking, that God is talking about here, that Jesus is talking about here in Book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. He said this, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's talking about external. It's talking about power to go out and touch the life of people and change the life of people in that direction. I want you guys to understand and know this. I got saved, touched by God. All those things were happening to me. And one of the things that I did, Holy Spirit convict my heart to do, is I pray for your family. God, are you kidding me? All my families are Buddhist. My grandfather's Buddhist monk. You telling me that you want me to what? Pray for them to be saved? Impossible, God. And God said, there is nothing impossible for me. You ask, and I'll do it. And I said, okay, God. So I pray and pray. I pray for 12 years. And one day, when I was in my Bible college, year before my mom and dad got saved, I saw a vision. I want you guys to know that God taught me how to teach, but I'm not a very freaky person. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't see vision that much. Or, you know, I prophesy sometimes, you know. If you come to me and say, Pastor Ron, do you have a word for me? I'll probably say no. Because I don't. Sure, you want me to lie to you? I don't. But there's a time the Holy Spirit will come upon me. I say like, I become a crazy person. And I say like, yes, I do have a word for you. Hey, you probably say, I don't want a word. Yes, you do. You're going to have a word anyway, right? Yeah, I try to be genuine as much as I can. So, you know, I'm not that freaky, so I don't see vision all the time. I'm really wondering about somebody who said, I see vision every day. I said, like, really? He's like, I don't think Daniel saw it every day, you know? So, like, but one day I really saw vision. I was sitting in the chapel in Bible College Chapel. It's huge. It's like you could see about 10,000 people there. And then I was closing my eye, and I saw a big, gigantic Satan appear to me. He was the biggest mountain. And then I was there, and he opened his hand. And in his hand was all of my family, my grandfather, my mom, my dad, my siblings, all in his hand. I was the only one who was outside of his hand. And he looked at me, and he started to laugh. And I look at it, I was like, oh, my God. I was so helpless. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He said, I want you to go look beyond the devil. So I look up, and I look at beyond the devil, and I saw the smiling face of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit said, look around. And I started to look around, and I realized I was in the hand of Jesus. Do you know the devil was in the hand of Jesus? And the Holy Spirit started to speak to me. He said, I have everything under control. That's what he said. And I was like, oh, yes. And vision stopped. Exactly what I want you from then on. I got a phone call from my mom. My mom hates me for what I do. He called me, I'm a black sheep of the family. I realized I was the only white sheep, and everybody was black. You know what I'm saying? She just didn't realize that, right? He said, I was the only black sheep in the family. I said, like, okay, mom. And mom called me, and she was crying in the other end. And my mom said, Jacob, you need to come right now. Make a long story short, what happened was my sister got into New Age movement, and she became crazy, demon-possessed. So when she got demon-possessed, my mom took her to a psychiatrist, and psychiatrist gave her a huge downer, a sleeping pill, really the prescribed one, one that you knock the horse down, you know what I'm saying? And she took it, and she became more hyper. And the doctor goes like, what the heck, you know? And it's like, my mom goes like, what's going on? And there's nothing was helping her. Look, at daytime, she runs to the kitchen, grab the kitchen knife and start stabbing herself. And at nighttime, she start to run away. So my brother was holding her down and watching her for 24 hours. And when I came and when I was watching her, she was using profanity all night. And I know my sister doesn't use profanity. And it was just like horrible condition. But when she was going through all that, my uncle, who's not Christian, came to my sister, my mother, who is his sister. I said, "Sis, I had a dream last night." So his dream was that my sister died and got into the casket. And I came, I lay hands on her casket, and she became alive again. And when he had that dream, he said, "I don't know what it is, but you need to call Jacob because he's the one who has a key for this whole situation." That's why my mom called. And she called me and crying. I said, "You need to come right now." I'm telling you, when I came, I was so scared because I never cast a demon out in my life. Okay? I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm a Pentecostal. I never did. I was so scared and see all those things that are going on. My wife and me. I was glad that my wife was there, you know. Somebody to hold on to. So after that, I took my sister to the prayer mountain. My spiritual mom was there. We pray for her for a whole 10 days. I mean, you're talking having service 5 times a day. Okay? But, you know, we didn't have a drum or we didn't have a guitar. We don't have a praise team. You know what we did? For about 3 or 4 hours, we opened up the Korean hymn book and we sing that thing for about 3 or 4 hours. You guys know that? Because I am about to die, you know? And then my spiritual mom was like, "Jacob, you preach." It's like, "What?" And she made me preach 5 times a day. I was like, "You gotta be kidding me." I don't know what to say anymore, you know what I'm saying? And we're just going at it. And I see things that I have never seen before in my life. The spirit things start to manifest. My sister got really strong, and all kinds of stuff was happening. Things that you guys probably heard, I saw it. And then 10 days after, in Jesus' name, she got delivered. God touched her life, and then she just fell. And then she come into herself. And I said, like, "Oh, my gosh." But she wasn't 100%. I had to tell her every day. She got delivered, but she wasn't saved. The demon went out, but she wasn't saved. But I have to tell her about Jesus every night before we go to sleep. "Hey, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Hey, Jesus, one who is in you is greater than one who is in the world. So you got to accept Jesus in your life. So he will protect you from this demonic spirit." And then slowly, as time goes by, she got convinced. And she accepted Christ. And she started coming to her senses more. And she said, "Wow, there is a demon spirit." Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Because New Age movement, they don't believe that. And then she goes, "Wow, brother, Jesus is so much more stronger." I said, "That's right. Anytime the demon tried to bother you, you cast that thing out in the name of Jesus." And she started to learn how to do that, and demon spirit cannot come close to her. And then she starts hearing me start speaking in tongues. I'm praying. And she goes, "What is that?" So I told her, I said, "This is called speaking in tongues. It's in the book of Acts." And so I showed the whole gamut about baptism, the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, what God has done. And she got intrigued. And she said, "Can I receive this too?" And I goes like, "Sure, let's do it. Let's pray." So I remember my spiritual mom, who have a special power, and we lay hands on her and we pray. And bam! She received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I did not tell her to say peanut butter 1,000 times. I did not tell her to do this and follow my speaking in tongues 1,000 times. I lay hands on her. I say, "Believe in Jesus," and we all pray together. And Holy Spirit came down upon her, and bam, she spoke in other tongue. But that's not the only thing. She changed. I could see her changed. And she got up and she said, I know who am I believe. And she started to be hungry for God. You know, person that he was really like thirsty. That's what she was like. From then on, she opened up the Bible. And every single day, she started reading the Bible. Ah! It was like, yes, I understand this. Yes, And I started to see her. It's like, oh my God, she was energized, touched by God. And she's like, she was able to share the testimony. God was touching her life, and I see the change in her life in such an incredible way. Today, she became a Sunday school teacher, and she became my avid supporter of my North Korea ministry. Through that, my mom got saved, my dad got saved, and some of my siblings came to Jesus because they cannot deny what happened to our family. Amen? And one of the big things that played a role among that was a baptism in the Holy Spirit. If my sister had never experienced that, I don't think that she would be able to survive that experience that she had. I don't think I survived the Christianity without that. One more story. Can I do one more story? Can I do that? All right. You know, you guys know my daughter, right? Lily, right? You guys like my daughter? Probably like her more than me, right? Right? You know, I remember Lily, she got saved on our family altar. We had a family altar when I was in Korea. And the whole family was in Korea for 3 years when I was a principal of the school. And on the family altar, we explained the salvation, and she accepted Jesus when she was like, I think, eight years old. And, you know, she was good. She's a good girl. She always been a good girl. But, you know, I see a little bit of change in her. She started to, you know, read the Bible, and she starts to see her identity. But what she really made a difference was when we came, we are done with our 3 years of contract in Korea, came over here, and I started attending First Assembly of God. And then, you know, First Assembly of God have an all-night prayer. Anybody know that? Yeah, all-night prayer, right? And then they pray like 5 hours straight. Pastor Supin go up there and say, like, yeah, fire! And I was like, please stop. You know, I'm tired, right? 5 hours, And you know, it's not easy, right? Pray through this. And, of course, I bring my daughter. Lily's a good girl. So she can, you know, follow. It's like, okay, Dad, you know, I do the all-night prayer. So, like, about 30 minutes, now she falls asleep, right? Which is understandable, right? And so I try to, you know, survive myself. And I maybe pray about 2 or 3 hours, you know, right? And so you pray. And after that, you know, we go home. That was kind of routine for us, like, whole month. And then one day, there was an evangelist came in First Assembly, and he started talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, hey, the Pentecostalism lost this very valuable doctrine called baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't practice much anymore. We don't tell people about baptism of the Holy Spirit anymore. We need to do that. He was talking about it, and he had such an incredible insight about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Lily was there. And he says, anybody who want to receive this gift, come forward. Lily was there. And then Lily raised her hand. And when she raised her hand, everybody pushed her forward. She goes like, ah! Right? And so like, lay hands on her, stop praying, right? I don't know what happened, you know? But by the end of the day, like, she lay hands on her, boom! She received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues. But the story didn't end. Month later, we had an all-night prayer again. Because monthly, I took Lily. You know what she did? She didn't stop at 30 minutes. She prayed on and on. I said, like, whoo, this girl changed. She started to pray. Why? Because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive what? Power. And one of the power is to teach you how to pray. And, you know, some of you said, Pastor Hong, this tongue thing, it's like, oh, it's so weird. Hey, I know a lot of you guys do weird things. You don't think it's weird. I said, NFLs are going on. I know the front of the TV. You guys do all the weird things. Yeah, my team. Ah! You do all the weird thing, and you come to me and tell me when I speak in tongues that I'm weird? Give me a break, guys. At least I'm doing it for the Lord. What are you doing it for? Yeah. I heard the Washington Redskins is winning. Is that true? So they lost? Oh. So, you guys understand? It's like, ah! But I'm telling you, this tongue thing is when you look at the Bible, and I don't have the time to go through all of them, but when you look at the Bible, it's there, and it is, I didn't believe it as a Baptist, that it is a sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit until I really studied the scripture and realized it is. Why? Because when you look at in Mark chapter 16, this is a sign shall follow two believers. One of them is lay hands on sick, they shall be healed. Other thing is you pick up the snake. Other thing is you will speak with a new tongue. It didn't talk about here anything about the Holy Spirit, but here it actually says this is one of the signs. When you go to the book of Acts, in Cornelius' time, Peter went to Cornelius and preached. In the middle of his preaching, they got saved and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit and they spoke in other tongues. And he went back to his apostle friends and they said, why'd you go to Gentile and preach to them? You're not supposed to. He said, hey, you got to understand, man. They received the Holy Spirit just like us. How did he know that? He said further, he said, because they spoke in tongues and prophesied. He said it right there. I said like, oh, okay. In early church, they actually used that as a sign. It wasn't me. It wasn't just a doctrine from the Pentecostal AG. It was actually from the Bible itself. And I said like, wow. And you know, I saw so many people that has experience with tongue. I know my friend, IJ, he have a big campus ministry in UVA, University of Virginia. He said he went to a conference one day. And he saw this black lady. She was praying in Korean. He's like, whoa. I said, like, wow, she's really good. She must have really went to Korea and, you know, did all those stuff. Like, wow, I need to really, you know, tell her hi after this, right? So after conference kind of over, simmer down, during the fellowship, he said, oh, sister, you spoke Korean so well. What did you learn how to do it? Did you live in Korea? She said, what do you mean I spoke in Korea? I was speaking in tongues. Really happened today. You guys think this is gibberish? Are you serious? There's a one deacon in the church. True story. Every time we get excited. You guys know that Pentecost church used to be a lot more exciting than what we used to be right now? Right now, when my professor sees what we are doing, he's like, yeah, you guys are dead like a Catholic. I'm serious. That's what he used to say. Like, wow. You think? And he was like, ah. But you know, it used to be all a lot more exciting. It's like, ah! And then every time they get excited, there was one deacon come start standing up. And he starts to shout. He goes, arr! And it goes, everybody goes like, what the heck is doing? And I goes like, so everybody be quiet. And the pastor set him aside. And he's like, don't do that. You're killing the spirit. And I goes, okay, pastor, I won't do that. But sure enough, when the excitement comes, he goes like, arr! He goes like, ah! And then one day, they had a missionary came from Africa, and he was preaching. And in the middle of the preaching, everybody got excited. And sure enough, this guy come up, and then pastor goes, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then the guy goes like, arr! And then all of a sudden, the missionary jumped out of the pulpit. Hallelujah. You know what he just said in African? He just said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That's how we praise God in Africa. How did he know that? He was speaking in tongue in African. This is a true story, guys. Amen. One more story. I told my wife to come up here at 11:30, okay? So I still got about 9 minutes, all right? So one more story, okay? One more story. When I was in Bible college, there was one female professor. All of them were male, except one. And I remember she said, we all had a prayer meeting. She was telling us what really happened. And during the prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and saying, so-and-so, I want you to speak in tongue and give a message in tongue. I said, look, I'm the only female here. Let somebody do it. Some other male do it. Don't let me do that. I said, I am the one who is the highest in this place. So you do what I tell you to do. And I said, okay, God. So she got up and she gave a message in tongue. My Bible college professor at the time, he used to be, he spent 20-some years in Indonesia as a missionary. And he knows a language called Javanese. When you guys look at the Indonesian map, it's called, they have a Javan, place called Javan. He spent there for 20 years. He knows called Javanese, like Chinese, Javanese. So when he heard that, he said, she was speaking Javanese. But he didn't interpret. He be quiet, and he let somebody stand up and interpret. And so there's a young professor guy, and he started interpreting it. And so this professor was hearing how he interpreted. And you know what he said after all the meeting was over? He said, you spoke perfect Javanese, and you interpret perfectly at what she said. And he knows they both do not know Javanese. It happens today. Yeah. It's in Jimmy Sagar Bible College. Jimmy Sagar got all excited because he was all discouraged. Why did I start the Bible College? I got so much headache. And then when he said that, this is the kind of Bible college we have. God is real. That's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit is real. That's what I'm saying. And today, the Lord want to move upon you guys today. Amen. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, what he said? You shall receive power. And when the power of God starts coming down upon you, what's going to happen? Then you start to become a witness. You're going to go out there in Waikiki. You're going to go out there in some places and say, I got to tell people about Jesus because this fire in my heart, I cannot just take it for myself. We lost that in Pentecostal. We need to get it back. We need to get it back by what? By asking the Holy Spirit to come back in. Asking the Holy Spirit to touch us once again. Asking the Holy Spirit to baptize us with the Holy Spirit once again. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Can somebody turn the music? Everybody stand up right now. All right, can we do that? And somebody go downstairs and tell the Sunday school to come up. I want the kids to get baptized to the Holy Spirit too. Hallelujah, God. I want all the leaders to come up there. We pray together. Okay, come up here. We're gonna do this. We're gonna think called a fire tunnel. Amen. So don't get scared, okay? We're gonna put the real fire on here, okay? We're gonna do the Holy Spirit fire here, okay? So we're gonna create a tunnel here. Okay, this is what I want you guys to do, okay? Anybody who said, Pastor Hong, I need the Holy Spirit. I don't care that you have spoken tongue 20 years ago. If you need a refilling, you need to come over here. But if you have never spoken tongue, you have never got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you know it, you're saved, and you need to get saved, but you're saved, but you know that you don't have a baptism in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter who you are. You say, oh, Pastor, I'm so introvert. Doesn't matter. God's going to make you extrovert. Okay? God's going to baptize the Holy Spirit. If you believe in God by faith, God's going to do something powerful. Amen? He's going to do that. So this is what I want you guys to do. Okay? I want you guys to line up here. Okay? And when you guys come up here, I want you guys to expecting. What is it? Expecting. Everybody say expecting. Expecting that God will move. Amen? Expecting. That is part of faith. I'm expecting the Holy Spirit going to touch me today. I am not going to have any other way. Amen? And so when you do that, if you come up here and say like, okay, Holy Spirit going to grab my mouth and he's going to move it and go, do this. Sometimes it does happen. I'm not saying it doesn't. Holy Spirit do whatever he wants to do. But most times, he doesn't do that. Most times, he take your will and say, hey, use it up. I am going to bless you if you take it by faith. And if you stop stepping onto the Jordan River or Red Sea, just step on it and you might be wet and you might not see that Red Sea has been split up. But if you do it by faith, I will do the rest to split up the Red Sea. Amen? So what you guys need to do is when the Holy Spirit starts, you feel something in your heart, on your belly. Okay? That's what Bible said. Out of your belly, coming out of a river of life. And something in your heart. Don't clap your mouth. It's like, oh, Holy Spirit, if you want to move it, do it. No. Open up. And when you come through this tunnel, it's like, Holy Spirit, come. Touch me today. And when something is touching you, just blurt it out. Hallelujah. Whatever the language, whatever the thing, if it's just a little, just do it. I'm not going to teach you to do it. I'm not going to say it about peanut butter 1,000 times. That's not of the Lord. But if the Lord is prompting your heart and you do it by faith, just come. And just move on. Amen? Can we do that? Can we do that? Come on. Everybody come and line up. Can we do that? We got a godly people here who's ready to pray for you guys. Come on.